Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us. My name is Leslie Dach, and I'm the founder and chair of Protect Our Care. I'm joined today by three healthcare champions, three committee chairs who have fought tirelessly to bring this pandemic under control, to help Americans get their jobs and their economy back, and to get more people the healthcare they need and can afford. Senator Patty Murray, chair of the Senate Education, Labor, and Pension Committee, Senator Ron Wyden, chair of the Senate Finance Committee, and Representative Frank Pallone, chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Before I turn the microphone over to Senator Murray to get us kicked off, let me just say a few words. Today is less than 2 months since President Biden's inaugural and about 2 months since Democrats gained control of the U.S. Senate and kept control of the House, and just 5 days since the president signed the American Rescue Plan. So much has already been accomplished, 100 million checks and 100 million shots on their way to the American people. And particularly for today's call, the largest step forward on healthcare since the Affordable Care Act. Thanks to the rescue plan, no American who purchases insurance through an ACA exchange will pay more than 8.5% of their income on premiums. Estimates are that millions of Americans will see dramatic savings because of this provision, and millions who cannot now afford coverage will be able to afford coverage in the future. In some cases, this provision will put more money back into people's pockets than the $1,400 checks. Thanks to the rescue plan, states that have failed to expand Medicaid would receive significant financial incentives to do the right thing. And over 4 million Americans would gain coverage if they did do the right thing, 60% of whom are in communities of color. And thanks to the rescue plan, significant investments are being made towards ending racial disparities, allocating billions for healthcare centers for care in underserved communities, and support for extending maternal health under Medicaid. None of this would have happened without the work of our speakers over so many years and their leadership now as chairs of these critical committees. But as you will also hear today, there is much more to be done to make these provisions permanent, to reduce the cost of drugs, to continue the work on racial disparities, and to do what it takes to get those who should be covered by Medicaid expansion covered. I know our speakers are already focused on what's next, in addition to what needs to be done to deliver on the promises of the rescue plan's provisions. And with that, let me turn the call over to Senator Murray.
Well, Leslie, thank you so much. And it's just great to be on this with Chairman Wyden and Chairman Pallone, who've done an amazing job. After years of Republicans trying to make health care harder to get, harder to afford, and lower quality, after President Trump reversed years of progress as the uninsured rate went up in every single year of his presidency, healthcare in this country was already in crisis well before COVID-19 struck. But this pandemic and its economic fallout have turned crisis into catastrophe. Over the last year, the uninsured rate didn't just continue to rise, it skyrocketed as millions of people lost their jobs and lost healthcare coverage their families needed. Numerous experts estimate that millions of workers lost jobs that provided health insurance, insurance that covered not only those millions of workers, but also the dependents who rely on them, their families. This pandemic is the biggest healthcare crisis in a century, which is why, in addition to significant investments in schools, childcare, and public health, the American Rescue Plan included the biggest expansion of healthcare since the Affordable Care Act. The American Rescue Plan included support to cover the full cost of keeping health insurance people got through their employer, even after losing their job, a move the Congressional Budget Office says will mean 1.4 million fewer uninsured people this year. It included steps to help make coverage through the exchanges more affordable, so that a single person making $18,000 a year will pay zero per month. A single person making $30,000 a year will pay $85 per month instead of $195, cutting their premium cost by over a half. And a family of four making $50,000 a year will pay $67 per month instead of $252. That is a cut of nearly three quarters. It also eliminates the subsidy cliff at 400% of federal poverty, expanding access to premium tax credits for working families who currently don't get any help with their premiums. The exchange in my home state of Washington, which already has an uninsured rate that is well below the national average, estimates these improvements will result in 25,000 to 30,000 more people signing up for coverage in my state. The American Rescue Plan also incentivized states that haven't yet expanded Medicaid to finally do so, a move that could benefit 4 million uninsured adults with low incomes, over half of whom are people of color, and hundreds of thousands of whom are frontline workers. There's still plenty of work ahead to fully end this pandemic, to rebuild our nation stronger and fairer, and to finally ensure healthcare in this country is truly a right and not a privilege. But it is worth recognizing the work we just did. The American Rescue Plan we just passed will make a real difference in millions of lives. After 4 years of fighting off healthcare attacks, I'm glad to say we are finally building on the progress of the past with bold steps to expand quality, affordable health coverage, and we're not done yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Murray, and thank you for all that you've done and continue to do for your constituents and for the rest of us. Let me now turn the call over to Senator Wyden.
Hello.
You're live. We can hear you.
Oh, wonderful. Great. I'm managing the Catherine Tai nomination on the floor, so I, too, will be brief. And Senator Murray spoke very eloquently about what the American Rescue Plan was all about. And we're very proud that more than half of the bill went to the Finance Committee. And let me just kind of touch on a couple of issues and then briefly mention, as she did, where we go from here. What the American Rescue Plan was all about is it built on the hopes and aspirations for workers and their families, and particularly their elders. And if you kind of walk through what this was all about, you can really put it, you know, very simply. We help people with premiums that they just couldn't possibly figure out how to pay in the middle of a pandemic. They were already walking an economic tightrope as the pandemic, you know, unfolded, and the bills just kept stacking up. And we helped people with their premiums. Second, we recognized that we have to deal with shortcomings in the employer-based, you know, system. It hasn't changed all that much, you know, in decades. And we said, we're going to help people right now who've lost their job through no fault of their own. And that's what we did with the COBRA assistance. Again, speaking to what people in the middle of a pandemic were really grappling with. The changes in Medicaid, which is part of the finance program, jurisdiction in terms of expanding access to postpartum care, I think is going to make a huge difference. And finally, our provisions to deal with the nursing home tragedy at a time when families around the country are still grieving through strike teams and quality improvements will also speak to what families are dealing with right now in their living rooms and their kitchens. Now, I was home last weekend, had a virtual town hall meeting. First question was about prescription drug bills. People are getting mugged at the pharmacy counter. And that was the message in Astoria, Oregon, just a couple days ago. And it is the message coming out in meetings with constituents all over this country. And I am committed to lowering pharmaceutical drug costs. I think the natural way to begin is really to take two initiatives that we saw focused on in the last session. Senator Grassley and I said that if Big Pharma hikes their prices over inflation for drugs like, you know, insulin, they're going to lose some of their subsidies. So you really send the message that they're pocketbook consequences. Second, I think what the House of Representatives has been doing to try to lift the restriction so that Medicare could negotiate and bargain on behalf of millions and millions of seniors is also urgent business. So I believe over the next few months, we're going to, as Democrats in the Senate, focus on lowering drug costs, saving money for seniors and taxpayers, and all of those people who are getting clobbered at the pharmacy counter, who after Donald Trump told them that he was going to step in and help and then really did virtually nothing except issue blustery kind of statements, this is going to be the time when we get some results. So you've heard from both of us who chair the relevant committees in the Senate. We think the American Rescue Plan was a big, big leap forward in ensuring that we build to recognize that in America, healthcare is a basic human right. We also believe there's a lot more to do. So Les, if it's all right with you and your wonderful advocates, I'm going to put this in to be continued for the questions, but we'll be working with you, okay?
Thank you. Looking forward to that, and thank you for looking forward to what else needs to be done with all that vigor
Thanks
and energy.
So
thank you. Let me turn it now to Chairman Pallone to talk about the work that he's led in the House.
Thank you, Leslie, and thank you for all the incredible work that Protect Our Care has done over the last 4 years in the fight to defend Americans' health care coverage and address affordability. And I'm not going to repeat what – let me thank my two Senate chairs, Patty Murray and Ron Wyden. I don't want to repeat what they said, so I'm going to try to kind of add to it rather than repeat it. But, I mean, I do have to tell you that, this is the largest expansion of health care coverage since the passage of the Affordable Care Act. And I know that when we were drafting the ACA, and maybe I sound old in saying this, but I guess I'm the last man standing of the original drafters. I think there were six of us at the time, and I'm the only one left. But when we were drafting it, we never envisioned that because of Republican obstruction, we'd be, it'd be really 11 years before Congress had the chance to revisit and update the law. And I guess the good news is that the ACA proved to be very resilient, more resilient than we have hoped, and it withstood all these Trump and Republican assaults and still emerged more popular than ever. But they did do a lot of destruction during the last 4 years, and so we need to address that. And we finally have the chance to do it. So I'm not going to repeat what the two senators said. I mean, obviously, the two most important things here are that under this bill, a lot of people will gain coverage who don't have it because of the cost of their monthly insurance premiums going down for the first time, people that are over 400% of poverty. So you basically have it expanding to people at a little higher income, well, actually at a much higher income, depending on the level of subsidy. So we've taken out that cap, so people over 400% of poverty are now eligible. And we've also increased the subsidy for people that were eligible for the American Rescue Plan. So that's number one. And then number two, as was mentioned by the senators, is the Medicaid expansion, giving the an incentive to states that haven't expanded Medicaid, that 5% point increase in the federal medical assistance program. And I would point out, as I think many know, that's not just for the expanded population, but also for all your Medicaid recipients, that the state would get that extra 5%. But I don't want to go through all that. I do want to say, though, that some state legislatures and governors have already begun to express interest in this new incentive, and I'm hopeful that more will follow because it really is time that these holdout states do the right thing and expand Medicaid. And I think Ron also touched on the Medicaid coverage to new moms for 12 months. In other words, right now, until this passed, if you were a pregnant woman and you were giving birth, you might lose your coverage after 2 months after birth because many of those states allowed a higher income level for pregnant women, but then when after 2 months, they would lose their Medicaid coverage because their income was too high to have regular Medicaid coverage. So what we've done is to say that now this will be 12 months postpartum for at least 5 years, regardless of, whether or not because of your income, you might have dropped out of the program after the 2 months. So that's very significant in terms of addressing the maternal mortality crisis. What I wanted to say that's totally new, if I could, is that, I see the American Rescue Plan as a down payment on our work to follow through on President Biden's commitment to lower consumer costs and expand access to coverage. So next Tuesday in the Energy and Commerce Committee, which happens to be the 11th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act being signed into law, the Health Subcommittee will hold a hearing on a series of legislative proposals, Leslie, that will build on the ACA and the American Rescue Plan to further expand access to quality, affordable coverage. And, I don't think we've noticed this yet, but, this concerns here are about, addressing junk plans, outreach and enrollment, permanent funding for CHIP, a bunch of things that would be sort of the next step beyond the Affordable Care Act that we need to address. So I did want to mention that. And then I also wanted to mention, because I know Ron brought up negotiated drug prices, that's not on our schedule for next Tuesday, but we do intend to address once again H.R. 3. In other words, have legislation that would give the secretary the right to negotiate prices under Medicare and even in general because of the high cost of prescription drugs. That's another one of our priorities that Ron touched upon, but I wanted to mention as well. So thank you, Leslie. Thank you all for what you do at Protect Our Care.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, what's so impressive is not only the work that has been done, but the work that you're continuing to do, because this is a year in which we can get a tremendous amount of done and to vindicate all those years of worry that the American people had because of the sabotage under the last administration. So it's a unique opportunity, and so glad to have you working it every day. Whitney, why don't we see if we have questions? I think both the senators have had to leave, but Chairman Pallone is with us, and let's open the floor for questions.
At this time, if you have any questions for Leslie or Chairman Pallone, you can press star 3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, if you have a question, that's going to be star 3. And we'll give folks just a second here. All right, our first question is going to come from Susanna Luthi at Politico.
Hi, and thank you so much for holding this call. This question is for Chairman Pallone. Just a few kind of disparate questions. Number one is public option bills are starting to roll out. So I'm wondering if you plan to hold hearings on any of those proposals. Second, you mentioned the hearing on the Trump short-term plan rule next week. Are you hitting up on any opposition to rolling back that rule, either from insurers that are offering those plans or other groups that want to see them still in? And do you see how do you see approaching that issue without being accused of taking people's coverage away, even if it's not comprehensive?
But Susanna,
coverage.
You're talking about the short-term junk. I call them junk plans. You're talking about the short-term plans. Yeah.
That's
well,
right.
I'll say two things with regard to the short-term plans. I don't believe that the original ACA, before. As originally proposed, as I was one of the drafters, as I said, I'm the last man standing, I guess, of the six. I don't believe that allowed for these junk plans. It was envisioned that these were very short term. It wasn't envisioned that you would sell them indefinitely. So, and the whole idea with the ACA was that you had an essential benefit package. So to me, eliminate junk plans now or at some point is totally consistent with what we originally had in mind, because we were very emphatic that we wanted people to have an essential benefit package that was similar to, your average Blue Cross Blue Shield plan. And I think that that the President Trump violated the law of the ACA by allowing these junk plans the way he did on a long-term basis. As far as the public option, I mean, as you know, and again, I'm speaking from 11 years ago, that the House bill did have the public option, and so I support the public option. So it's certainly something that we will look into in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are there other questions?
Yep. Our next question is going to come from Tammy Luby at CNN.
Hi, thank you for holding this call. What strategy do you plan to use in 2 years to make the subsidy changes permanent?
Well, as you know, the subsidy changes, you know, it's really weird because some of the things that are in energy and commerce's jurisdiction are in finance jurisdiction in the Senate committee, and some of the things that are in ways and means jurisdiction in, our jurisdictions don't over... Whatever, you don't want to hear any of this. Bottom line is that the subsidy part, the tax credits, if you will, comes under ways and means. So it wouldn't be part of our hearings or agenda. But yes, I do believe, you know, that I know that the House Democrats would like to, the House Democrats as a whole would like to see that made permanent and not have it just for the next 2 years. So yes, that would be part of what we would be trying to achieve in the future is have those subsidies continued beyond the 2 years, made permanent. But it's not actually in energy and commerce jurisdiction.
Thank you.
But I can speak for all of us in saying that we want to do that, if you will.
Well,
all right. Our next question is going to come from Mary Ellen McIntyre at CQ Roll Call.
Hi, thanks for doing the call. I wanted to ask about drug pricing legislation. First, do you envision any changes that you would like to see to the version of HR 3 from the last session as the committee starts to reconsider that? And then how do you possibly see drug pricing legislation fitting into the infrastructure conversation, possibly as a pay for?
Well, look, as you know, most people think of HR 3 primarily as negotiated prices. And that is certainly the priority, right? In other words, we want to see a bill like HR 3, and if you want to use HR 3 as your example of how we would proceed with negotiated prices, that is what we want to do. That is the priority of the committee and of the House Democrats. But the specifics in terms of pay for reconciliation, I think that, that remains to be seen exactly, what we would do. I mean, I can speak for all the, I hate to say I keep speaking for all the House Democrats. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But my point is that we all would like to see bills, done with the Republicans, if possible. But we certainly don't rule out reconciliation, because if we can't come to an agreement. But the goal now would be to try to do something that would be bipartisan with the Republicans.
And it's Wesley. I'd just add to that, and not to make any comment on the political strategy or to speak for the House Democrats, but I think the key components of a solution are the ones that both Senator Wyden and Chairman Pallone mentioned, which are Medicare negotiations, inflation caps for drugs that have been around forever and don't deserve price increases, looking at launch prices through negotiation, and being sure that everyone, Americans, can benefit from those savings, including Americans who are not on Medicare, so that folks who are insured in other ways would also benefit from the savings. And those were the principles in HR 3. And I think, we hope the same principles will emerge in any final bill this year.
All right. Our next question is going to come from Alex Ruoff at Bloomberg Government.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to talk. Yeah, I wanted to unpack a little bit. You said that you guys are kind of moving on to the next phase, including sort of taking on a lot of the agenda of junk plans and AC outreach. Should we expect that to kind of be, you know, you guys have often done these in kind of big packages, right, where you bundle them together and you bring them to the floor. Do you have a sense for if that's going to be, you know, sort of another ACA expansion focus on outreach or expansion? Can you kind of unpack a little bit about what's the next legislation we'll see coming through your committee and how you see that, you know, moving forward, becoming law?
Well, I think the most important thing is what we've been saying, which is that, you know, we want to continue to address access and affordability, and we certainly want to undo the damage that was done by the Trump administration. So some of the things that remain are the issues like junk plans, the need for more outreach. I mean, I know that President Biden obviously has expended significant resources already for outreach and, you know, enrollment, reopen the enrollment period. But, you know, whether it's, you know, a lot of these things that Trump did, I don't believe actually were allowed under the law. But the junk plan, some of the restrictions on, limitations on people with pre-existing conditions, some of these things are there and they need to be corrected. So the focus, you know, at least in our hearing next Tuesday, will be on undoing the sabotage and looking at addressing affordability and expanded access, you know, within the confines of the ACA that we've seen limited by the Trump administration. I don't know if that answers your question.
I'm also looking at the clock here, Whitney, and I think we promised our speakers we would be done at 3:30. So I just want to end by saying thank you again. The American people have benefited dramatically from the work of these chairs and the committee members and the Democrats in the House and Senate. Not to be forgotten that not a single Republican voted for any of these measures that are going to deliver help to the American people, help that will help them stay healthier and put money in their pockets at a time when they need it the most. So thank you again, everybody, for joining the call, and we'll all talk with each other again soon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, everybody. Take care.